Okay, so let's get started. Welcome to this session. My name is César Delator. This session is kind of special. It's not just a single speaker. I'm really just doing the introduction, and then we're going to have three partners talking about different solutions. So the idea of this session is talking about a different approach. Instead of you are going to many other sessions about development, .NET, and a lot of Microsoft technologies. But in this case, Microsoft is supporting partners with different technologies where you can run .NET applications in non-Microsoft devices. So could be other devices, iOS, Android, or whatever. Okay, and you'll see the different approaches coming from our partners. I'm going to introduce myself. I work as .NET product manager in Redmond, Seattle, for Microsoft and the development tools division. That's my email, so if you have any questions about alignment between Microsoft and their partners and these solutions, you can send me an email, and we can talk about that. So before getting into the different solutions, I wanted to show you what's Microsoft's vision about modern applications and modern business applications. So right now, and up until today, we have what we call established applications patterns, and that is mostly foundational applications, what we've been creating for many years, whether it was a desktop application or a web application. And you were used just focusing on the business, to run the business, but not really engaging end users or customers, right? And then within that bucket, you could have small, medium-sized business applications or mission-critical applications. But then, and this is what is really new, and you're hearing a lot of noise about modern applications, is we want to evolve and extend all the business applications to new scenarios. And that is where we have emerging application patterns. So in this case, we have the user as the center of the application. The application is going to be engaging, innovative, and mostly we are talking about mobility and cloud. Mobility, because we will have new experiences for the users, and then the cloud in order to support new volumes of users and in mobile devices. Okay, so having said that, that's kind of the vision of Microsoft. We're going to show you a different partners approaches for any kind of devices. So first of all, we're going to have Federico from Mobilize.net showing your solution. You can introduce yourself.
Thank you very much, César. So today, I'm actually here to tell you a sad story. And bear with me. You know, this is the sad story of an application that has been serving your company for many years. And now suddenly, you know, this application is at a crossroad. And you need to make a decision about what to do with it. This is the typical life cycle of applications. You know, you implement it the first time, and the application starts providing some value to the business. It goes through a maintenance phase, and even some enhancements, right? You add new modules, you add new functionality, and the value to your business, you know, grows and grows. However, this application has been written using a certain platform, a certain technology. And as you know, technology moves very fast, and a lot of times it moves faster than your business, right? So you have an application that works, that provides value to the business, but that is trapped on an old technology. So what do? You can either let it die, or you can transform it and actually inject new life into this application. Of course, my sad application is not alone. And actually right now, you know, we have a number of technologies that are going out of support. And some of them are quite pervasive, right? I mean, the out of support story is a continuum in the technology world. And you always have something that is going in and out of support. But Windows XP and certainly Visual Basic 6 are both technologies that are very pervasive and at the same time going out of support. You know, some people say that VB6 is actually the COBOL of the 2020. And certainly, you know, we're getting there, and there's still a lot of VB6 implemented in companies. And as you all know, Windows XP is going out of support at the mid of next year, and when you transition your application to the new platform, you also have to make sure that these applications continue to work on the new platform, and sometimes they require some remediation or some changes or, you know, at least a retesting of the application. So what to do? And let's take Visual Basic 6 as an example. You know, I can easily just replace the application, I can rewrite it, or I can migrate it and transform it. And of course, how do I make this decision? And here is where I have to take really a portfolio approach for my applications. You know, I have to look at my portfolio of applications inside the company, and then for each one of them, I have to look at certain characteristics. You know, I should be looking at what is the value that this application provides to my business. Is this something that I can just buy off the shelf, or is this something that is very specific to my business needs? Okay? On the other hand, you have the technical quality. Let's say, you know, the technical quality of the application. So is this something that was really poorly written, you know, 20 years ago, or is it something that, you know, is of a decent technical quality and it's worth rescuing? So when you combine these two things, you have different alternatives. So again, you know, you may have a custom application that has, you know, decent technical quality, and those are the ones that you should look for a migration, for a transformation, for something that will keep the same functionality and just, you know, move it out of the current technology trend. Okay? There's also another dimension here that is very important, which is the speed of change of this application. Okay? Sometimes businesses they build an application that supports, I don't know, a certain business process, and then the business process does not change. You know, and it does not change for many years. So at some point, even if your application is written on an old technology, if the business process does not change, then you probably left it alone, right? Now, remember, you know, the application may be in VB6, out of support, maybe in Windows XP, which is also going out of support. So what do you do? You know, do you really want to start from scratch, or is it better to just transition it to a new technology, but keeping the same functionality? And this is important because a lot of times when people start touching or reopening the hood, you know, inside an application, they say, well, you know, I should do it again. You know, I should use new technology patterns. I should do a lot of things. But the speed of change of the application is very important because, again, if the application doesn't change, then does it make sense for you to reinvest, you know, from scratch and rewrite the application from scratch if you only want to save or to change the technology underneath? And of course, there are many options to modernize. And this is important because manual rewrite tends to be the default option, you know, especially when you talk to technologists. You know, technologists always want to redo applications from scratch. And of course, you know, it's a lot more fun, you know, to start from scratch than to start from something that already exists, you know, from, you know, some code that maybe was written, you know, a few years ago. But there are lots of statistics and studies that say that, you know, rewrite projects tend to fail in a very high percentage. And where do they fail? They really fail when they try to replicate the functionality that already works. Okay? Because again, when I redo my application, I tend to start, you know, from the new functionality. I go and do a lot of requirement gathering, but these applications have been, you know, in use for many, many years. So if you start from scratch with requirement gatherings, you know, you're going to forget something. And users will complain about it once you try to put in production the new application, because nobody really has typically the whole functionality in their head. You have multiple users, et cetera, et cetera. Just think about a small accounting system, you know. Accounting, you know, you have, you know, processes that you run only once a month, processes that you run only once a year. And, you know, when you try to gather all those specifications, you know, it's a daunting task. You can purchase an off-the-shelf application, and this is fine. However, remember, what is the impact of implementing a new off-the-shelf application in your organization? I remember, an anecdote from one of our customers. You know, it was a large telco company, and they had this application with 3,000 users, okay? And the training to use the application was 3 weeks per user, okay? So the same customer told me, look, even if I could buy an application that does the same thing, you know, it's not going to do the same thing in the same way. So I will have 3,000 by 3 weeks, you know, 9,000 weeks of downtime just in training to implement the new application, okay? And this is important because sometimes when we budget these changes, you know, we budget them from the technology perspective and we do not fully realize the impact in the organization. And here I'm just talking about training. Think about, you know, errors, potentially errors, you know, because of the way in which the new application is implemented, et cetera, et cetera. I could keep running the legacy application, but of course this also has a limit, you know. Am I willing to take the risk of continuing to run applications on unsupported platforms? That's okay, but at some point I will have to make a decision. And then we have automation tools, which is really the solution that we're proposing at Mobilize.net, which is, you know, how can you preserve the functionality starting from the perfect specification? What is the perfect specification? The source code itself, right? Now, the source code itself is the perfect specification for an application, and how can I transform the source code, move it forward, and actually obtain something that is functionally equivalent? How do we do that? And I'm going to go over this very quickly because I want to have some time for demos. But basically, you know, there is an assessment at the beginning, and then, you know, you set up the environment with the current application, and then using our automation tools, you transform your application onto the new platform. The idea is to automate as much as possible, but at the same time making sure that the generated code is fully understandable and maintainable. Okay? We're not trying to recompile the application into machine code to run on a different platform, right? No, we're trying to convert source code and make it usable and human understandable on the new platform, so that the people that actually knew how to maintain the original system, you know, they can maintain the target system in the same way. Once you automate as much as possible, then there's a set of testing phases and manual touch-ups until you reach functional equivalence. And let's go and do some demos here. Okay, so let me start with a very, very high-level demo of something that starts as a Visual Basic 6 desktop application running on your desktop for one user, all the way to something that can run on the web and that can be deployed in a cloud environment. So this is actually a real example of one of our customers. And this is an application to do some credit reporting. It had a standard splash screen. And as I used to say, you know, the way to deliver this application was, you know, overnight shipping or second day shipping, okay? So, you know, basically, you know, you would get a CD and you would have to install it on each client machine, okay? The idea is to go from there to something that is software as a service implemented in the cloud. Again, this is the typical Visual Basic 6 application. Here I have, you know, some information. I have a huge grid over here. You know, this is how the application is. I can select one company. I can make some changes. Okay, something that is interesting, for instance, is that I can pick a report, I can preview the report, you know, it generates a PDF, and then I can print it out, etc. Okay, this is the original application, and now I'm going to show you the application, how it was transformed, and then we're going to go and dive into the actual transformation process. Here is the application now running in the web. First of all, the look and feel is going to be different, you know. When you transform to web, some of the things that you do is that you actually abstract the style out of the source code, out of the elements in the source code, and you put them into CSS files, right? So that once you have CSS files, then you can actually change the style for all the forms, you know, very easily. So let's start here. You know, notice that now the application is even multi-user. Same splash screen. You know, we try to keep, you know, functional equivalence as much as possible. Then you can go in and you say select a company. Here I have, you know, the same, you know, big grid that I had before. Again, this may not be optimized for a web experience, but okay, the first step is to go to functional equivalence, and then you can transform it and enhance it. Something that is interesting here is, let's say that I want to change this company, right? Then I have a new screen, and here is the same screen, but notice something that is interesting. In the VB6 application, I had the standard MDI pattern, right, where I could have multiple windows open at the same time, and I can switch between the different windows. On the web, here I have a one-page architecture. So, you know, there are some little things that you can do. So, for instance, here I can switch between the screens that are open, okay? And I can control, you know, which screens should be open or not based on the flow of the application, okay? So this is an interesting way of actually presenting a one-page architecture that has the same functionality as the original one. And you can go, for instance, even into the reports. You can select a report, and notice that this screen is a little bit different. Now we're running inside a browser. Running inside a browser has some limitations, okay? So one of them is that you cannot just print directly, right? You need a user action to actually go and print. However, you can do things like, you know, you run the report, so the report runs on the server, it generates the PDF, and what it does is that it returns a link to an actual PDF file. Now, this link is, you just use a normal user action, and you click on the link, it downloads it, and it opens the standard viewer on the client side, okay? So this is, again, another thing that is a little bit different from the original application to the web, but it maintains the same functionality, and most importantly, it can be automatically transformed, you know, from one to the other. And this is actually quite interesting. Okay? Now, let's look at another small example, because I want to show you actually some of the tools. So here I have another application in Visual Basic 6. And, you know, let me just run it. Again, another simple application. I have customers, you know, I can move across customers. I can have, you know, I can create an invoice. I can select the company. I can do some things, okay? Typical application in Visual Basic 6, okay? Now, what we need to do is we actually need to call our transformation tool, for instance, that goes from VB6 to .NET. And this transformation tool basically, you know, parses the code, loads the references, it identifies all the references in the system, and then, you know, you have to set up a bunch of options, you know, and decide how you're going to migrate each one of the controls, you know, what are you going to do with the old data access layers, you know, what do you want to transform them to, et cetera, et cetera. Things like, you know, do I want to go to C# or to .NET here, you know, or to Visual Basic .NET, and I can choose all those things, and then I can go and I can upgrade. Okay, the upgrade process actually takes some time, but let me show you now this application, for instance, running in .NET. So this is the application. And of course, you know, for the demo, if we run it, you know, everything will run. But normally, when you migrate an application from scratch, you'll have issues that you need to resolve, you know, once the code has been converted. And here, something that is interesting, when I go to a desktop model, so from VB6 desktop to .NET desktop, you know, if you look at the application is really exactly the same as before. You know, it's even hard to distinguish between the two, okay? And this is something that is very, very, very interesting. as I said before, you know, here I have this, you know, you create an invoice, etc. Okay? Then, you know, there is another tool, and I'm running out of time. There is another tool that can take this same code and actually generate it on the web. And I just want to show you some of the artifacts that are generated in Visual Studio. You can see that you're opening this with Visual Studio. There are no third-party components installed. There's nothing, right? So it's pure Visual Studio. We are using some .NET framework for some HTML5 framework for some of the controls, but this is what it is. Let me just show you here. Here I have, for instance, modules, and if you look at the code here, you know, it's very easy to read. I have view models, because what we do is that we generate a model view model platform, okay? So Cesar is telling me that I'm running out of time, so let me just switch back here for a quick wrap up. And and basically, you know, we saw how to transform a Visual Basic Sys application to .NET, to web. You know, these are some of our customers. And if you look me after the presentation, I can tell you a little bit more about how the magic or the technology works behind the scenes to actually do the transformation. Thank you.
So let me introduce Xamarin and Dean Ellis. So Xamarin is a company that they are creating a solution and technology where you can use C#, not just in .NET and Windows applications and Microsoft technologies, but also in non-Microsoft technologies like iOS and Android. I mean, it is really great for .NET. Dean?
On. Afternoon, everybody. I'll just switch over first before we get started. Okay, as mentioned, I'm Dean Ellis. I'm a software engineer at Xamarin. Hopefully, how many people have actually heard of Xamarin already? We've got some. How many people use Xamarin? Have we got any fans in the house? Excellent, good. Okay, as mentioned, we allow you to use C# on Android and iOS, which are historically platforms that have been unavailable to .NET developers. But before we get into that, let's talk to you a little bit about the company. We're only 2 years old. We celebrated our second birthday probably about 3 weeks ago, and we've already got 320,000 registered developers using our technologies. In addition to that, we've obviously got 16,000 customers, and these are worldwide customers. So there's we've got customers from over 70 different countries. So it's a real international customer base that we've got, and the company itself is quite international as well. Although we've got offices in the United States, most of our development and development staff are spread out across the globe. And we're actually still growing. So 30,000 developers a month are using our products. So Why are we so popular after 2 years? Well, we're principally the only technology that we know of that allows you to write C# applications for Android and iOS and do it natively. So we're not like an abstraction layer. We actually get you close to the metal, and you can use and it will compile for iOS. We actually compile to a native binary. So it's a really unique technology. And we actually expose 100% of native APIs from iOS and Android into the C# layer. So if you don't want to, you don't have to touch Objective-C or Java at all. And this is the reason why we've grown so much in the last 2 years. And everyone at the company is amazed at how well we've been doing. We've got some big companies using our stuff. This is a European conference, so some of these names might not be familiar, but Kimberly-Clark is huge, especially in the United States, as are National Instruments. And we've got some interesting technologies interesting companies using our stuff. RDO is a nice music streaming service. which is awesome, and that's all built on Xamarin technologies. We've also partnered with a bunch of consulting companies, Cognizant being one of them on the list there, and they help companies use our technologies and develop applications. One of the companies based in Atlanta was called BlueTube, and they did this rewrite of a sales application for Kimberly-Clark. And they developed this absolutely beautiful, you can see the screenshots up there, a beautiful 3D application to allow their sales team to go into, go to their customers and show them their products and make sales. And the great thing about this rewrite is that not only does it look like a native iOS app, it behaves like one as well. And in addition to that, the sales team really love it. And when they get enthused about using the app, they can do a really flashy presentation, and the customers really respond to it. Before that, they had like a web application, and the sales staff didn't really like it. So let's talk a little bit about how it works. Basically, as we said, you can use C#, but what you tend to do is we've all been told we have to separate our logic from our UI. So if you've been doing that over the last few years, then all of this will be familiar. So you can share your business code, your web API calls, your data calls, and all that kind of stuff. All that code can be shared across all the platforms. The only thing you need to deal with is the user interface. So that, and that is specific to each platform. So for iOS, you'd be developing an iOS-based UI. For Android, you'd be doing the Android stuff, using activities and stuff like that. And obviously, for Windows, you'll be using XAML-based technologies. So basically, we just try and make sure we use as much of that core code as possible. And we've got customers reporting anywhere between 60 and 90% of code reuse, which is fantastic. The main difference for us from other technologies that kind of offer this cross-platform solution is that we're fully native. We expose the native APIs into C#. So what you end up with is, rather than having an app running on an iPhone or an iPad that doesn't really look iPad-y, it actually looks and feels like a native application. And you can use all the technologies available to you on that platform. So there's no abstractions. As what you get is what the customer and the user is used to. And the other thing we do, this was in our 2.0 launch, which was about a couple of months ago, is we've actually allow you to do your development work in the place that you love the most, which is Visual Studio. Prior to this, we had our own IDE called Xamarin Studio, which allowed you to develop our applications. But in this latest release, you can use Visual Studio to develop Android, iOS, and obviously all your Windows applications, all in the same place. So you can use your plugins, use your ReSharper and stuff like that. It's all available, and you can use your existing skill set. The other thing we've actually done recently is we've launched a beta of our test cloud. It's in private beta at the moment, and what this allows you to do is upload your apps to the cloud, and we will run unit tests on them. But we don't actually run them in emulators or anything like that. We actually run them on physical devices. So we've got a lab in the cloud somewhere, hidden away, that has devices, and they're on gyroscopes and stuff, so you can do GPS and accelerometer changes in your unit tests. So this is an amazing piece of technology. And even if you're not using our development products, if you've got iOS or Android apps, you can still use this product to actually test your applications. So we're going to get to some code. What we're going to do is we'll look at a little field service app, which is a demo, and all the source code is available online. And what we're going to do, I'm just going to go through and explain the structure of how an application actually fits together. What I'm going to try and do, and I'm running a risk because I'm going to try and use the internet, I'm going to try and make some changes to the application so it actually connects to Azure and does some stuff. So you can just see what it's like to actually develop. Before I actually move on to that, I would like to mention that Xamarin has a component store. A lot of you might be thinking, okay, I need to connect to Azure. How do I do that? We know .NET's got a mobile client for Azure, but is that available for the products that we do? And the answer is yes. We have a component store which has a load of pre-built components. A lot of them are free. Some are for sale. And that allows you to basically use the same code everywhere. We actually work with Microsoft to develop the mobile services, Windows Azure components for our products. So, you know, that's available and you can just add them to your project. And I'll go through that in a second. So let's go and have a look at some code before we get started. Okay, I'm going to make an apology right up front. I've got some network issues. Normally when you're developing iOS apps, when you run them from within Visual Studio, it will launch the simulator on the Mac side of things, and I'm running a Mac in a virtual machine. Because I've got some network issues at the moment, the VM is not talking to my Mac, so I'm going to have to work around that a little bit. So if we look at the structure of the application, we've got a whole bunch of projects there. We've got Android, iOS, WinRT projects. Let's just quickly run up the WinRT app so we can see this running in Windows 8. Did that actually start? There we go. Great. Okay. Let's not look at that then. Screen resolution is slightly lower than I was expecting. Okay. Right. So had we run that up, it would have looked like the screenshot that we saw earlier. So let's just have a look at some of the code that we've got. This section here, the field service code, this is where all the shared code that we've got lives. It's just there as a library, so you can have a look at it. So we've got all the data models. These are all the classes that we use for saving data to the database and to the internet when we add it. We've got our view models, which are all shared between all the platforms. A whole bunch of utilities and basically services and stuff. All that code is shared between these three platforms, and that's a fair chunk of it. The only difference we have to do is deal with like the view side of things. So in the WinRT project, we're obviously using XAML. In iOS and Android, we're using the native stuff that we're using there. So Android, they've got these like layout XML files that you can use. I won't go into too much detail on that because I've got to keep an eye on the time. So let's just have a look at some code. As you can see, we've got tasks, we've got generics, all that kind of stuff that you're familiar with as .NET developers are all available. These three files that I've got open here are actually shared in the shared code, so they're shared by all the projects that we've got. There's a view model here, which we'll have a look. I would be debugging this stuff right now, but unfortunately I can't do that. So we'll switch over to the Mac and have a look in a second. And I actually wrote this class here for connecting to the mobile service client. Now, as you can see, if we look at the reference here, we've got the normal Windows mobile service references there. They've been downloaded from NuGet. But we will look in iOS. If we have a look in components, we've got the Xamarin component there, which basically exposes exactly the same API. So if I just go and have a show you the component store. This is the component store. So, you know, as you can see, there's a whole bunch of stuff in there that you can use. There's progress bars and all sorts of bits and pieces, and charting tools and everything. So basically, if you've got something like signature pads and stuff like that you need in your app, you don't need to reinvent the wheel. You can go to our component store, download it, and for the most part, they'll work on Android and iOS. So if you've got a need, then have a look at that. So I'm just going to switch over to Mac. And we'll look at modifying the iOS version of this application, which is using the same code to use Azure. So what we'll do, we'll look at the login service. As you can see, and we've already got a breakpoint set there. This is all going wrong today. Okay. Does anyone do demos? Never do a live demo, they say. Does normally work. Right, okay, let's go and have a look, shall we? Let's take that off. Okay, so the way this code was before, we just had a normal true statement there, and there was a sleep in there to give it a nice wait while we logged in. So we'll just get rid of all that code. The other thing we're going to do, we'll have a look at the assignment view model, which we'll show you, and just added some code in here. This section here was just brand new. We added the code to check when the status of the assignment was complete, and then we can upload that to Azure using the normal Windows Azure mobile API. So I'm just going to run that up so you can have a quick look at how that looks in an iPad. Can people see that okay? Is that okay? So just log in. So that's going off to Azure now and authenticating that username and password against the user there. And we actually managed to log in. So what I'll do now is I'm going to set a breakpoint just there, just so you can see that this stuff actually behaves as normal. So I'm just going to accept that task. And you can see it broke fine into the code, so you can still hover over and do all the things that you normally do in Visual Studio. I would be doing this demo in Visual Studio if the networking was working properly. Okay, and then we can sort of like go and have a look at some more details. So let's go back to there. Let's go to confirmations. We're going to add a signature. Nice signature. This is using the control from the signature store, so it's saving that nicely. So I didn't have to write any of that signature code. That's all just been used. Say complete. We can check the status. The status is complete, which is excellent. So that will now upload that to Azure. And then we can go back and see that assignment's disappeared. Okay, so if we have a look back at the .NET code, this is how it was before. So just to prove that, you know, I won't be able to run it up, but we can just, you know, all the stuff that you used to works. Okay, so that's just added that section, and then in here we can, you know, I've got the code here that was we commented out earlier. So, I mean, basically, if you want to take anything away from today, from this little chat, it's you can reuse your business logic, you can do all your code in C#, and it'll allow you to target iOS and Android. If you've got any questions or queries, we've got a booth here today, so just feel free to pop round and ask. And if you want to have a bit more look at the code and chat to me about it, then that's fine. I think I'm kind of done for today. If you need my contact details, that's that. So I'll just switch back to 4. And I think we'll hand back over to Caesar. There you go.
Yeah, and finally, we're going to have Citrix with Bruce showing their solutions in order to modernize or run Windows applications in different devices, mobile devices. Okay, Bruce, when you're ready.
Okay. Sorry about that. We got the right buttons pushed finally. Well, it's really a pleasure to be here with you and speak at TechEd in Europe. And thanks so much for attending this session. My name is Bruce Franson. I work in a group in Citrix called Citrix Labs. We're an applied research organization within Citrix, looking out over the technology horizon a couple of years ahead of our product groups. And today we've been looking at a number of things around mobility for the last several years, and today I'd like to talk about an SDK that we've developed that allows Windows developers to sort of mobilize, make more touch and mobile friendly those SAD applications that Federico talked about. So first let's, I just wanted, this is some information about Citrix. I want to see how many people are running Citrix technologies in your organization. Okay, a fair number of people. How many people have heard of Citrix? Okay, very good. Well, I won't go over this in any detail. The company has grown quite a lot in the last 8 years since I've been at the company, acquiring a number of technologies in the desktop and app virtualization space, cloud networking, the software as a service space as well, and then recently cloud platform space as well. So let's set the stage here in this mobile-first world. We have a lot of applications, devices, and usability issues as we start to look at mobilization. And more users are wanting to access their corporate data from mobile devices. I suspect in the audience today, most of you are carrying two, maybe three, maybe four devices. Many of them are going to be touch-based mobile devices. And we'd see a large diversity of those devices in terms of form factors, the platforms, the versions of those platforms. So those sad applications, those thousands of line of business applications that are out there, really aren't terribly useful when remoted or virtualized on a server in the data center and then remoted out to a mobile device. And that's one of the things that we're working on to address. Now, in doing that, there are a lot of issues around mobile work styles and bring your own device. Particularly, it's worrying the CIOs, the chief security officers, those people that are concerned about compliance with regulatory issues within the company and ensuring that there's not data leakage on easily lost, stolen, or misplaced mobile devices. So what we've done is we've developed a mobile SDK that's really a rich toolkit for .NET developers to mobilize the user interface of those line of business applications. And the idea there is that presentation layer can be modified in such a way to avoid touching the complex business logic. Oftentimes that business logic was written over a 20-year period and the guys who wrote it are long gone. So you don't want to touch that, but if you can do a little work on the presentation layer, that can be very useful. So in this SDK, there are over 100 mobility-focused APIs that enable a .NET developer to develop a mobile-friendly, touch-friendly interface. Auto-device detection, so an API that'll detect what that form factor is, what the platform is, and the version of the platform, so that the Windows application running back in the data center will know what that platform or that endpoint is. And I'll talk more about this in some detail. And then access to some of the mobile device functionality, and again, we'll be talking about that momentarily. So before I get into some of the details, let me just sort of set the stage with some Citrix terminology around application and desktop virtualization. On the server side, our virtualization servers are called Zen App and Zen Desktop, and they're running back here in the data center, and it's here that Windows applications and desktops execute. And they are delivered out to a client on an endpoint device. It could be a PC, a Macintosh, or any one of the mobile devices that you're carrying today, whether it's Android, iOS, or a WinPhone. That client software is called Citrix Receiver. And then the protocol that connects the client with the back-end virtualization servers, Zen App and Zen Desktop, is called HDX. Now, some of you familiar with the history of Citrix will recall that that protocol used to be called ICA, or Independent Computing Architecture. Our marketing folks renamed it to HDX for High Definition Experience. It's a highly optimized protocol that travels over a secure band, obviously. Now, the SDK provides access to local controls, sensors, and location information, as I talked about. Some of this comes free when you're running the latest versions of the servers and the client software. So as an example, when a user touches into a text entry field, the on-screen keyboard, the local on-screen keyboard, will automatically pop up, allow them to enter that. Similarly, it's using the local device controls like the combo box and the list box. So there's no programming involved in attaining those. That can happen automatically. But the additional APIs will allow a Windows application to consume and trigger an SMS message or a phone call. Also, using the camera to capture either a still image or a moving video as well. And then finally, access to the GPS location services. So the location of a device accessing an application running in the data center can be logged. Now, clearly, there's some privacy issues around that, so we have a user consent to that if that's the case that's going to happen. So I talked a bit about some of the API functional areas already. Let me cover a couple of the others, though. We have APIs that will detect what the device properties are, like the serial number, the form factor of that, whether it's a tablet, a smartphone, the pixel density of that, the MAC address, as an example. Also, the platform that device is. Events. An example of that would be orientation. Typically, a Windows application isn't expecting the screen to be turned from portrait to landscape or vice versa. So knowing that and delivering the pixels out to the device that are appropriate to the orientation is a critical piece. Different devices have different sets of buttons. For example, an Android device typically will have four buttons. So being able to have an API that knows how to have the application running the data center behave properly when a certain button is pushed. For example, the back button on an Android device is going to go back in the hierarchy of the UI, not sort of exit the application. As I talked about the display, detecting what the display is, the screen size itself, but also the pixel density. Typically, these mobile devices have a lot higher pixel density than a Windows application is expecting, so being able to deliver those pixels that are going to look properly on that, and also make it feel like a native application, even though that application is executing in the data center. So the system requirements on the development machine, it's typically going to be Windows 7 or 8, Visual Studio 2010 or 2012. We're also going to be keeping up with the 2013 Visual Studio enhancements as those come out. And then the mobile SDK for Windows application will be installed on there to give you all the libraries and so forth. For development testing, we've created a mobile device emulator that comes up in Visual Studio, and I'm going to show you a video demo of using that. Once the application is done and tested, then you would do production testing on the actual Citrix environment, and these are the server side and the client side latest versions that you would be using in doing that testing. Now we have a whole lot of documentation and admin information out on the website, citrix.com/mobility-sdk. Also, a lot of code samples and rapid start videos. The code samples and the application samples we have out there are free for you to use. You can paste them into your applications and get a head start on that. There are also templates for Visual Studio to give you a head start in developing those applications. Let me just talk momentarily about the runtime architecture, both on the client and server side. So on the left there, is the Citrix Receiver. That's the client side. So we have the Citrix Receiver client code. We've added some mobile device services underneath that give the receiver access to the mobile device functionality that we talked about, the camera detecting what the device is and so forth. On the server side, at the bottom layer, we have some mobile device services runtime layer. And that essentially is the server side that interacts with the mobile device services on the client. The next layer up are the language bindings for native libraries and .NET assemblies. So basically, in the SDK software, we're giving you all the libraries and the DLLs and so forth that you'll need to develop these applications. The top layer over here are the applications running. They could be C, C++ applications, or they could be managed .NET applications as well. On the far right, the hosted mobile application is actually a WPF application that Citrix has developed, and we've just released this in beta, and it leverages the SDK. Basically, what it is a replacement for the FAT Outlook client that it integrates, communicates with the Exchange server through the Exchange server web services API. And a lot of very security conscious organizations have been very interested in this application for a long time. They're just very concerned about caching any sensitive data out on an easily lost or stolen device. Moving on quickly, the SDK mobile device emulator allows a developer to test that application right in Visual Studio. And we have several templates that are delivered with the SDK for various devices. You can also develop your own custom applications as well. I'd like to show you just a quick video of using this emulator. Basically, we're in Visual Studio here. The emulator pops up. And then you see an application. It's a test application that tests a number of the APIs that we're using in this, or providing in this SDK. The first thing is we're going to do a notification. So if you look on the right-hand side, you'll see the little icon vibrate and also the text appeared there. So basically, this allows you to test your application and debug it as you go along. Next, we'll enter some text, and we see the on-screen keyboard pop up. And again, that's the local keyboard on iOS or an Android or a WinPhone device. Next thing we'll do is take a look. Actually, you saw the orientation change there from portrait to landscape. And we're going to take a picture now with the camera. And because it's an emulator, we're capturing an image, essentially. But you can take either a still photo or a video as well. With that, I'm going to keep moving on, just being mindful of time. It's a typical development phase here. You're developing the application using the standard Windows tools, Visual Studio. You test that application and debug it in the emulator. Once you're satisfied that everything is working properly in that mode, you move on to the build and deployment flow. So again, in Visual Studio, you do a typical build. In this case, we're illustrating a single .exe file. The next step for there is to copy it up to the Citrix environment. The Citrix Zenapp server, in this case, is what's being illustrated. And then with the Citrix App Center, you publish that application. And once it's published, it's then available to be accessed by users that have Receiver on their mobile devices. So that's those of you familiar with the Citrix infrastructure, that's essentially the process for developing a sort of mobile-friendly, touch-friendly application. Now, I wanted to give you an example of one of our partners, Avanade. Also, I noticed that both Xamarin and Mobilize.net have Avanade as a partner as well. But Avanade is a great partner with Citrix and Microsoft, and we do a lot of work with them. What I'm showing you is an example medical record application. Typically, physicians over the years have been accessing that client-server application from a PC or a laptop using a large screen, physical mouse and keyboard. Works great, no problem. Oftentimes, though, the applications are hosted on Zenapp in the data center over here and accessing the core system and keeping that patient data secure back here in the data center. In the last several years, more and more physicians and medical professionals have been wanting to access that same patient data and that same application from touch-based mobile devices. But as we talked about before, it doesn't really work very well. Oftentimes, the interface is too complex, the buttons are too small, the fonts are too small, and it's not really very usable. So the idea of the SDK is to either modify that existing front end to that client-server system or write a totally new one. And so that's essentially what Avanade did. They wrote a prototype EMR front end to this application. You'll notice that they're using the WinRT sort of user interface paradigm here, so the tiled paradigm. They're also using the API that can detect the form factor of the device. So the same application will dynamically deliver the pixels out to a tablet in a format that's appropriate for usage on a tablet or to a smartphone device. In the case of Avanade, they chose to use the same user interface for any platform. So we're looking at an Android device here, but if it were a WinRT device, it would look the same on there, or an iPad, it would look the same on there. Because the other thing a developer could do is actually reskin the application to look like an iOS application or look like an Android application as well. But in this case, Avanade chose to do that. Let me just show you a quick video of how this application works. Knowing that so we're launching the application in Receiver. Keep in mind, this application is running in the data center. We ask the user for permission to use their location information. This is important in this case, logging the location of the physician, logging into that application for audit purposes. Now we can see sort of the front end, the dashboard of this application. We're going to drill down to some patient information. We can see here we have several patients on here. We're going to drill into some information about Mr. Hill. We can see we have some x-ray images, some medication information, some complaint history. He's just had a hand operation, so we're going to take a video of his hand at this point. So we're starting the application by starting the video by pressing that red button. Now we're going to stop the video. Keep in mind that this is all happening on the device, but now we've saved it up to the data center. Next step will be entering a label for that particular video. So when we do that, you'll see the keyboard automatically pop up, so it feels like a native application typing in the label for that particular video, which is going to be stored back up in the data center with this person's other medical records, so we're saving it now. And that basically gives you just a very quick view of how an application like this could work. So just being mindful of time, let me just sort of wrap up here. Why would you want to do this? Clearly, as we've heard today, there are a number of ways in which to do sort of modernizing or mobilizing legacy Windows applications. And this is one more arrow in your quiver, one more tool in the toolkit, so to speak. I think Xamarin and Mobilize.net are others that are very valuable. Citrix customers have been very interested in this SDK because it allows them to leverage the Citrix Windows infrastructure they already have. For those line of business applications, they're custom developed. They are able to leverage that, those development skills they have there. Data security and compliance, risk management are key pieces of this. Keeps that data, sensitive data, secure in the database. Device independence, again, writing that application once and maintaining it, building in the smarts in that application to be able to detect what the screen size is, the pixel density, and so forth, so the pixels are delivered out. Keeping up with the rapid version changes on these platforms is an important piece of the puzzle as well. And then also, typically a Windows application isn't really used to consuming some of the mobile device capabilities like GPS or camera. So giving a Windows application access to those device capabilities is very interesting, and I think there are a lot of creative uses one can think of in doing that. So there's a lot of information, as I spoke about, out at citrix.com/mobility SDK. Some very good 10-minute rapid start videos our developers have put together out there. I think those of you who are interested, definitely go out and take a look at that. I wanted to mention the hosted mobile mail. We've actually just released a beta of that, and those of you who are using Exchange and have issues around having BYOD devices, you might want to take a look at this application. Very interesting, and we'll be shipping it later this year. I wanted to also say, be sure to visit our Citrix booth at 83 and 84 in the Exhibition Hall. We can talk about this SDK we're talking about, but the team there are talking about all of Citrix's offerings and solutions as well. And then one of my colleagues is delivering two other sessions here at the Tech Ed. His name is Tony Sanchez, and you'll see those here on the screen. So that concludes my presentation. I'll hand it back to Cesar.
Thank you, Bruce. Thanks. So now if you want to come up, we have like 10 minutes, even 15 minutes for questions about all the solutions. Do we have any mic for the attendees?
Mr. Federico, do you have any solutions for converting from Oracle 6i, migrating from Oracle 6i to .NET applications?
That was for me, right?
Yeah.
Sorry.
We have applications Oracle 6i form. Uh-huh. I want to convert it to migrate it to .NET, yeah, web applications.
Yes, you know, I'll give you a business card in a bit.
Number questions? Really? Over there.
it's for MobilizeNet. For which languages is this possible? You mentioned VB. Is this for Delphi as well?
Yes. So. We support several languages. You know, we support VB6, we support Informix 4GL, you know, as an old platform. We support Java. You know, you can migrate Java to C# and also to this. We also have some mainframe solutions like Unisys Link and some other things. We also look at C++, all C++, you know, and how to move that forward. Those are, in general, some of the solutions. You can think of us as really experts in code manipulation. And so sometimes, you know, the problem is to migrate a whole language to a new language. Sometimes the problem is more like the webization of things. So I have an application in C# using the WinForms, let's say, and I want to slice that and actually convert WinForms to HTML5 and stuff like that. So you don't really have to migrate the whole language. You can also migrate, you know, pieces of the language and re-architect it so that you have model view model. And then you can put, you know, whatever front end you want on the other side. So different solutions. I can also give you a business card in a second.
Any other question?
Our emails are right there.
So feel free to send an email with any other question after. Okay, so thanks a lot for your time.
Thank you.